Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building an advanced jungle chop bass line in Ableton Live 12, using sampling as the main engine, then arranging it so it actually works in a drum and bass context. So this is not just about making a bass sound that growls. It's about making a bass line that dances with breakbeats, leaves space for the snare, and shifts energy like a proper jungle tune. The big idea here is simple. In jungle and rolling DNB, the bass is not just a sustained note, it's a rhythmic event. It should feel like it's chopping, answering, and reacting to the drums. Think of it as percussion with pitch. That mindset is going to get you much further than just loading a preset and hoping it hits. We'll keep this mostly inside Ableton's stock tools, especially Sampler, Sampler, Warp, Auto Filter, Saturator, Drum Bus, EQ8, Corpus, Spectrum, Compressor, Utility, and Resampling. If you want, you can also bring in hybrid reverb, or MIDI effects like Arpeggiator, but the core workflow here is all about strong sample selection, smart chopping, and arrangement decisions. First, choose the source sample carefully. This matters a lot more than people think. For a jungle chop bass line, you want a source with tone, movement, and enough harmonic content to survive processing. That could be a sub note from a synth, a Reese bounce, a processed bass guitar note, a vocal stab, a horn stab, or even a single note synth recording with a little instability in it. Clean is fine, but too clean can be boring. A little grit, FM movement, or harmonic weirdness helps the chop feel alive. If you don't already have a source, make one. Create a simple bass tone in a synth, resample it to audio, and use that as your material. In the clip view, turn warp on if needed, choose the right warp mode for the source, and tune it to your project key. Use tones for tonal bass material, texture for noisier stuff, or complex pro if you need more pitch shifting quality. The key point is this. Get the sample musically usable before you start chopping it up. Now drag that sample into a MIDI track and let Ableton create a sampler. This is where the fun starts. For jungle chop work, slice mode is often the fastest starting point. Set slice by transient, then adjust sensitivity, so you get musical chunks instead of a million tiny fragments. If the source needs timing help, keep warp on. Use one voice if you want mono bass behavior, which is usually the safest move. And for trigger behavior, gate is a solid choice, because it gives you control over note length and articulation. If the sample has a few good hits in it, slice to new MIDI track is a great move. If not, keep it manual and map out the useful regions yourself. The goal is not to slice every peak possible. The goal is to create playable fragments that have rhythm and identity. A good jungle chop should feel like it can perform a phrase, not just repeat a loop. Once the chops are mapped, start tuning and shaping them. Use transpose in Sampler if the source is off-key. Then clean up the sound with EQ8 and utility. You'll probably want to trim any mud in the low mids, somewhere around 150 to 350 Hz, and keep an eye out for harsh resonances in the 2 to 5 kHz range. If the bass is too wide, especially in the low end, reduce the width or use utility to keep the foundation narrow. And here's a major rule for bass music, keep the subregion mono. You can let the mids get wide and nasty, but below roughly 120 Hz, mono is usually the move. Now we start making it musical. Write the bass phrase around the drums, not on top of them. In jungle and DNB, the bass should interact with the kick, the snare, the ghost notes, and the breakbeat syncopation. If the snare is the anchor, the bass should either answer it, leave room for it, or build tension around it. Try phrases that hit after the snare, leave the downbeat open, or push into a fill. Use short notes for a tighter chop feel. Vary velocity so the line has accents and movement. And don't just write a one-bar loop and call it done. Aim for a two-bar phrase. That's where the groove starts to feel like a real performance instead of a static loop. A really useful mindset here is movement versus readability. If the bass is too animated, the hook gets lost. If it's too static, the jungle energy disappears. The sweet spot is usually a few repeating gestures, plus one detail that changes. That might be a different note at the end of bar 2, an octave jump, or a slightly longer hit that pulls the ear forward. Next, add motion with filtering. Auto filter is perfect for this. A low-pass filter with moderate resonance can darken the intro, and then open up on the drop. You can automate the cutoff subtly, or even map it to velocity or expression if you want the bass hits to feel more performed. A nice advanced move is to open the filter a little in the last half beat, before a snare or drop. That tiny breath can make the impact feel much bigger. Now let's give it weight and character. Saturator is a great first stop. Start with a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if needed. Then try drum bus lightly for grit and glue, but be careful with boom on bass material. Too much can fight the sub. If you want more modern aggression, roar or even pedal can work, but remember to protect the low end. EQ8 after saturation helps tame any harshness that got added. Utility at the end can make sure your width is under control and the bass stays centered. If the chopped sample doesn't have enough low end on its own, layer a clean sub underneath it. Operator with a sine wave is ideal. Waveatable with a sine or triangle also works. Keep the sub mono, keep it simple, and keep it tight. The sub should follow the root notes and support the phrase without drawing attention to itself. That contrast between a clean sub and dirty mids is one of the most effective tricks in bass music. Here's where things get really powerful. Resample the result. This is one of the best advanced moves in Ableton. Route the bass track to a new audio track set to resampling, record a few bars, and commit the sound to audio. Then edit the waveform, chop it again, and turn the processed result into a new performance layer. Resampling bakes in the processing and makes the sound feel more finished. It also gives you something concrete to arrange with, instead of endlessly tweaking plugins. A lot of the time, the second or third resample pass is where the character really locks in. You might go from a clean chop to a saturated and filtered version, then to a final rendered audio clip that you can re-edit for fills and variations. That process gives the bass a sense of intentional damage, which is exactly the kind of energy a lot of jungle and DNB records thrive on. Now let's arrange it. A jungle chop bass line should evolve across the tune, not just loop forever. Think in sections. For a simple 16-bar drop, maybe bars 1 to 4 establish the groove, bars 5 to 8 add a fill or a call and response detail, bars 9 to 12 pull one layer out or filter down briefly, and bars 13 to 16 bring the full energy back with a switch up or pickup. That keeps the listener engaged without needing a completely new bass sound every 8 bars. For the intro, tease the bass with filtering and only a couple of notes. Let the breakbeat do some of the talking. In the drop, bring in the full chop pattern and let the kick and snare lock with it. In the variation, swap one bass hit for a higher octave, reverse a chop into the downbeat, or insert a half bar gap for tension. In the breakdown, strip out the sub and leave texture or filtered mid so the next section can feel bigger when it returns. One really important DNB arrangement principle. Don't let the bass line run flat for 16 bars. Even if the riff stays recognizable, change something every 4 or 8 bars. That could be velocity, note length, octave, filter cutoff, or the number of active layers. The listener should feel motion, not just repetition. Sidechain and groove control matter too. Route the bass layers to a bass bus and use compressor or glue compressor with the kick as the sidechain input. Keep it subtle unless you want that obvious pumping effect. The goal is to make space, not to make the bass disappear. If you use the groove pool, you can also give the bass a swing relationship with the break, so the line feels like it's breathing with the drums instead of sitting rigidly on the grid. On the bass bus, a practical chain might be EQ8, saturator, compressor, utility, and maybe a very gentle limiter if absolutely needed. Use spectrum to check that the sub is centered and the low mids aren't crowding the kick and snare. Your job here is to glue the layers together and keep the low end controlled. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, too much sub in the chopped sample. If the source already has heavy low end and you layer another sub on top, things get muddy fast. Second, overslicing. If every tiny transient becomes a slice, the phrase loses musical flow. Third, writing the bass without considering the snare. If the line doesn't relate to the drum phrasing, it will sound disconnected. And fourth, widening the low end. Keep anything below about 120 Hz mono, whenever possible. Here are a few pro tricks. Try octave displacement by dropping one chop an octave for a surprise hit. Use silence as a weapon, because a short gap before a bass stab can hit harder than another note. If the chop feels too soft, layer a transient click on top and keep it filtered so it just adds attack. And don't sleep on corpus. Used subtly, it can add a metallic, resonant edge to specific hits and make the bass feel eerie and physical. For practice, build a two-bar jungle chop phrase at around 174 BPM. Start with one bass sample, slice it in simpler, and write a pattern with 4 to 6 short hits, one longer note, and one octave change or pitch variation. Process it with EQ8, saturator, auto filter, and utility. Then resample it, edit the resampled audio into a variation, and compare the original against the printed version. That's a really good way to train your ears toward choosing the version that actually feels tighter and more musical. If you want to push further, make 3 versions of the same bass idea. One version that's dry and rhythmic, one that's heavier and club-weighted, and one that's darker and more transitional. Then test which one supports the intro, the drop, the breakdown, and the switch-up best. That kind of versioning is how advanced sample-based bass design really starts to feel like production and not just sound design. So the core method is this. Start with a tonal bass sample, slice or play it rhythmically in simpler, shape it with EQ, saturation, filtering, and mono control, layer a clean sub if needed, write the line around the drums, resample it for character, and arrange it with variation and space. That's the jungle chop mindset. And remember this one line. The bass is not just a sound, it's a rhythmic event. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter lesson script, a more energetic voiceover version, or a time chapter by chapter narration for recording.